heads, roly-poly fish, heads, fish, heads, fish, heads, eat them up, yum. Fish, heads, fish, heads, roly-poly fish, heads, fish, heads, fish, heads, eat them up, yum.
Yo, welcome back to Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. I'm here with Gene Borrock, who is representing the female contingency of the Brooklyn Fishing Derby. Almost single-handedly representing. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. We are now in the last, 4 days of the Derby, and give me the lowdown. What's going on out here? We're on the pier at the end of North 5th in Williamsburg, and we've got the leader of the Derby off to our right with a 45-inch striped bass. And tell us about the scene out here, Jane.
Well, the scene out here I could fully talk about, given that I've been here just about every second of every day, 24/7. I'm actually having my tent dropped off to me tonight because I plan on spending the night because, first I listened to this guy's theory to come at this time, and then I listened to this guy's theory to come at that time, and then I realized I don't listen to anyone's advice. There's no reason to start listening to people's fishing advice.
Hold on. You're going to sleep out here tonight. You know how cold it's going to be, right?
I was here yesterday when, I've been giving analogies this whole time that part of the derby is like putting money at the end of your hook and throwing out into the water because it's like everything I own, all my assets are at the bottom of the East River. And truly yesterday, the wind opened up my bag and a $20 bill flew into the water.
Your last $20
bill. My last $20 bill. So then we had to empty out the bait bucket to try and, get back my $20 bill. But then we realized, what's actually more worth it, keeping the bait fresh on water or getting my $20, and we chose the bait. So that's how hardcore we are.
So what got you so fascinated in fishing out here? I know you're not a veteran fisherwoman of these parts, right? You just kind of got the bug or what?
Yeah, well, actually, my background started on the boat in Bay, and I spent, many hours and many dollars hanging out on, that other side of the island. And then I have pure fish closer to where I live, mostly Valentino here. But maybe I shouldn't say this on camera, but the guy is known as the pure rat.
Yeah.
I've really taken to, and I am, entertained on, all sides of my brain, from the stories to the fish and how they all combine. And
you have a little crush going down here, don't you?
I do have a little crush.
Where is he? There's the man.
Looking
like James Dean standing over.
I'll tell you a story about that. So right there in the corner is John, otherwise known as the leader
of the
Derby. Some are calling him the winner, but we're not going to go there yet.
What's the size of his fish?
Of his fish is 44 inches. And we tried to weigh it, and it got to 29 pounds and then broke his scale. So another scale came in, and it weighed in at 30. I was the only one here with my yuppie camera, which has a, video phone, so I videoed the whole thing, which our winner here doesn't have a computer or really know what that is. So when I showed it to him, he was just ecstatic. Anyway, he's sort of taken to each other. And we've agreed that we're family. I haven't really discussed if he's my husband or if, my father, but he's family, so much so that with he built me that little house.
That's your little house over there.
He built me that, and he told me he was going to keep it for me because he didn't want me to get cold. So I've never actually had someone build me a house. It's kind of better than paying rent, I guess.
Now, you've caught a few fish. What was when did you catch your first striped bass?
I caught my first striped bass during the Derby, actually around this time. I caught it on this side, sort of in the middle, so that's sort of my lucky spot now. When people stand there, I just sort of growl and make it known that that's my spot. And it was to size, and I was very pleased.
Did you eat it?
No, because I really respect the policy of catch and release, and be nice to also maybe have babies one day. So, you never know. Although with the way that the whole tear rat side came out here, I'm starting to actually feel like a dude. And Mr. Poland himself, sort of the head of the Poland fishermen, was out here today, and he looked at my hands and he told me that he's not sure I'm a woman. So I know you're kind of interviewing me as a female fisherman, but that's
Let's see, you think we can get a word from our leader over here?
Yeah.
All right, you take the phone. You're in charge. We're going to head over and talk to him.
Okay. Jan?
Yeah.
Hi.
The leader of the Brooklyn Fishing Derby.
Jan? So, let me tell you, ask you something. Tell me about this fish you caught. How big was it? How big was the fish you caught?
44 inches and 4.5 pounds.
30.5 pounds. Sorry, I had said 30. I missed that half. Very important.
The Spanish guys have a...
And when we first measured it, what happened to your scale?
45 and...
No, but what happened to the scale?
Ah, this mine is only 42.9.
And it broke.
Yeah.
And
broken, yeah. Fish go down, so forth.
Yeah.
Right. And how long did it take to reel this guy in?
Can I answer for you?
Go ahead.
Well, I've now learned that the bigger the fish, the quicker it is to reel in because they get tired quickly. Think of it as like Archie Bunker, you know?
Okay.
Like he's not going to put up such a fight.
Okay. Well, what do you think of having a woman out here fishing next to you? That's a new thing, right?
Yeah. This woman is now fishing.
Good for luck or good for fishing?
Wait
till she starts catching bigger fish.
Every day, talk for it.
Out of everyone here, who's your family member?
Yeah, this is your number one.
The family. And let me ask you one more question. One more question. What did you do with the biggest fish?
Say again?
When you caught the biggest fish, was it the best feeling you've ever had in your entire life?
Oh, I'm very happy, so I'm catching the fish like that, big one.
And are you confident that no one's going to catch a bigger one? Are you the winner?
For Sunday coming every day, so maybe catch more big one.
It's not possible. It's not possible.
There's no stay, 21.
Four more days.
That's it. And I'm coming, no, when it's finished, for December 15th.
Right.
I'm finished the fishing.
Right.
That's it.
So what Jan's saying is he's not even done when the Derby's over. He'll fish until the very last day of the season. Isn't that right?
Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm go for New Jersey for lake. Morning, start like 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock finish this season. The fishes, bass, bigas, beards, muskie.
Ice fishing too?
Yeah, sure. I'm having every stuff for ice fishing. I'm crazy like 10 years.
Actually, I'm happy to know this because just a while ago I said to Jan, I said, what's going to happen after Sunday, after the official end of the Derby and the prizes are given out? And he said, well, what do you mean? It's going to be a good party. We're all going to hang out. I said, no, but what's going to happen to me after? I'm going to be like suicidal. I don't know what to do. I have to say that I normally wake up at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I got a wake-up call from these guys telling me to get my ass out here. I was here at 9 a.m. That just doesn't happen.
I'm now every day, say 3 o'clock morning, coming for the pier, 7:30 go for my job, come back, nighttime, every day.
So how is it that you guys are able to fish as much as you are? Like, you guys are... I mean, Jan, you're a contractor, right? Is that what? And you work, like, right over here, yeah?
No, a couple of jobs.
So you can come out on your lunch break if you want, yeah?
Yeah. People working, looking at everything, and come back to fishing. So no problem.
Jane, what about you? How do you get to fish so much?
Unlike all the other girls that move to New York and get married when they're, like, 20, I'm native.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't do that. And lately I decided I'm not really into my friends, and I got laid off, So it's all sort of perfect timing. And I should be looking for a job, but I've told everyone that I'm not starting till Monday morning after the Derby. So Sunday, it's like the big celebration and then somewhat back to reality.
Right.
Except for when we go fishing.
What's the strategy out here? What have you learned about how to fish this spot?
Well, what I've learned is that every single person has their own strategy. So at the end of the day, you just have to follow your own gut and follow your own lead. There are certain things, like no matter how much people say they like their crabs, they like their clams, what works?
Only bunker, right?
Only bunker. And
I'm now go a couple of times, the Riverhead, Fishway.
Okay. Only Jan knows where to get the bunker, and we have like this, you know, like a pact. Nobody else knows.
I'm have a fresh bunker, like one more week, catch fish, no problem for me. I'm have only me. Now nobody. And my family.
Just half an hour ago, Jan yelled, I'm out of bunker! And then he looks at me and says, no, don't worry, I have it for us.
Fresh bunker really makes that much of a difference compared to the pros. Why is that?
I found out why, and I asked the World Wide Web.
Okay.
It turns out that when you freeze bunker, it's able to be done if you individually wrap each one and have some ice in between. But when you put a bunch of frozen bunker together, it's just like freezing meat or chicken. They get frozen, freezer burned. So when you cut them, the actual sides of the fish break, which exposes the meat. So as soon as you toss it out to water, they're already look like a fish has, you know, gnawed at it. Yeah.
Not only this, it's not have it inside the blood, which is for the skin. So fresh, just fresh. The reason, to cut it so it's the hook, and the water a couple minutes left.
I've actually really, it's true, and I've really, this whole blood thing really is true, so much so that I have started collecting Jan's old blood, and when I am stuck with crappy bunker, no, but I kind of marinate it. You know, it's like cooking, you know, to collect the flavor, which is probably why my hands look like this. But anyway, it's a great crew, and it's been amazing. And
should we go see what they're doing out here?
Yeah, let's go see.
All right. Yeah, do you guys have anything to say about the reason the no fish are biting today?
Have you caught anything today?
Oh, hey, got it.
Do you want me to translate for you?
Yeah.
He said that he's caught things that are so big and so many that he just can't keep track. And how big was your biggest striped bass today? He said it's 63 inches, but don't tell Jan. All right, thank you.
All right, over here. Hello.
Okay, I'm going to take you on a little tour. So this is North Fifth, okay? You arrive, you dismount your bicycle when you get here. Everyone kind of sits down, gets their tackle ready, puts their poles ready together. But genius Jan over here, due to a crazy wind chill factor, has built us a little home. So what normally happens is... Yeah, kind of. I need a ring first. But anyway, no, this really is like the diehard fisher people's home. We sit in here. We have thermoses of coffee. We have our bait right here. And you just are totally unaffected by the wind. Now, last night, this house was constructed. I mean, this crew, they're contractors by day. They're construction men. They know what they're doing. The house is actually larger and a little more this way. And we debated last night, like, do we take it down? What happens? Because we'll be back early in the morning. Do we leave it here? And we decided that...
This is the work of a contractor?
Yes, the work of a contractor. And we decided that it was so well built, it's got to be here. And we arrived today.
Pretty.
It's here.
Yeah, yeah.
We're actually thinking about building a little jetty and veranda out. Yeah, so drop on by. You know, it's a new home. Bring us a cherry pie or maybe a bunker pie.
You're
going to
need a playroom in the nursery.
I think so. Anyway, it's been fantastic.
Very cool. And talk to us real quick about Rod.
Okay. We have
That's a bad boy. That's an expensive rod. Right?
This is a very expensive rod. And Jan likes to use 80 pounds for 60. This is what he yells at me about. Great. This is what our fights are about. Maybe I shouldn't talk about this, but apparently my 25 mono is just not okay. Because if I want to catch a big fish, I will, but I'll lose it. Right. So this is his fabulous expensive rod and his reel. And, look, it's a bait runner, which is actually my nickname. You introduced me as Jane, but depending on what pier you catch me, on some piers I'm known as bait runner, and if you go to gantry, I'm known as warrior, whatever. Let's continue on. This is the gaff, which is only really important when you have your real fisher people out here, because when you have a gaff, it means you can catch.
And that's a collapsible gaff, right? You can get more length on it.
Yes. We try not to gaff if we don't have to, because when we toss them back in, you know, we want to keep them as healthy and as pure as they were when they're water. But if it's an emergency situation and someone's about to topple over, you do what you have to do.
Okay.
This next rod and reel... I'll talk to you about the bungees. The bungees are here because occasionally we fisher people do like to have a cup of coffee, and we do, some of us may want a cigarette. And if you're not holding them, you can turn your back and your whole rod and reel will go in the water. Right. But I have to tell you, sometimes I think that Jay of North Fifth Pier kind of likes that because he's awfully eager to always jump over the fence.
Right.
You know, for some reason or another, it's whether he's the gaff or something falls or, you know, so. But the bungee is here so Jay doesn't have to jump over so you don't lose your rod. And maybe you can walk away and pee, which somehow fisher people never pee.
So are we never in front of you, but they will.
Yeah, I guess. I just don't see it. I don't know.
So rated 80 test.
Rated 80 test. Apparently the price of this has significantly dropped. So Jan, who's also, you know, a fabulous entrepreneur, I can't say that word, and investor, apparently just invested in the world's biggest school of this. This is your typical neon green, which surprised me, because I was always told that you try and be as, you know, non-colorful in the water so the fish don't see it. So I was taught the Roy G. Biv, red, orange, green, and in that order. So I was told that red was the best color to use. So when I arrived at this pier really excited with my brand new, you know, Louisiana red line, they all laughed at me. So, yeah.
And everyone's kind of got a special spot. Tell us about spots, because it gets a little territorial, yeah?
It gets territorial. For example, I was here yesterday before, or 2 days ago, before Jay, and I was in the corner, and as soon as I saw him, I nodded my head and I moved. It's like, why? You don't take people's homes. There are no squat. No, there are squatter rights here. Your place is your place. Generally, home fishing. I'm a floater arounder, depending on who I feel like talking to, but my least favorite spot is right here. Denton doesn't believe in home ownership and squatter rights. Denton comes with about 5 huge, massive rods and setups. And the whole, yes, Although I haven't seen him in a few days, and I suspect that he may have found a new spot. I don't know, but it's very odd that Denton is not, you know, declaring his turf. So this is pretty much North Fifth.
Real quick before we have to wrap up, tell us about your
my Fishmobile?
Yeah, keep going. I'm going to switch.
Okay. Okay, this is my Fishmobile. Its name has always been Red Snapper since I got it. It takes me from here to there, which is not normally this far, as I don't really live close to here at all. I've just become addicted. This is, in snotty terms, it's called a Velo Solex, and it is one of the most classic, original 1959 bikes. But I have fished it out and made it so that getting all my equipment here is, you know, a cinch. So if you turn around, for example, and come to the back, you'll see that I have my crate, which my rods easily fit in. I've now decked it out even more, or pimped it out with fishing net, so that if I catch a fresh fish that I do decide to bring to an aquarium or something of the like, so I can carry it in here. And, of course, on the back, it actually says fresh fish. Yeah, it's an old French gas-powered bike. And when I ride it, you know, from my house here with my pole sticking out and my tackle and then occasionally a hook dragging, a lot of guys in trucks like to say, oh, are you going to a costume party dressed up as a fisherman? Or why do you have fishing gear? People just don't assume that I'm going fishing. Yes, or they say, well, it looks like you're not coming back with anything, and I say, well, I'm just on my way. So, that's the story.
Has anything been jumping around here?
Around this time, the closer you go in, the schoolies begin to jump, and it's really just beautiful, and a lot of people come just to see, you actually see the fish jump up and down, and... Well, technically the bluefish are gone, but I've been told that there's still a few, which I now have. I have three rods with me today. I have one specifically rigged up for a blue because I'm not so confident that I could beat Jan's 44, but I'm trying to beat the blue. But for the schoolies, to catch the fish that you see jumping, it's actually a whole different technique because they tend to stay more on the surface. So instead of using a large weight or a large piece of bunker or whatever you're using as bait and weight, you don't want to go to the bottom. So a lot of people, that's their time that they like to use their shams or their little lightweight lures. And actually, we had our first fly fisherman out here the other day, and he just came to drop by and see what was going on, and, you know, and he happened to have his reel with him. And I asked him, is that a pool stick you're holding? Because it was like in this beautiful case. He's like, no, it's my fly rod. And I'm like, well, take it out. He's like, no, I can't catch here. He took it out, tossed it, and I'm telling you, 30 seconds later, he pulled out a fish. So fly fisher people, this is for you too. This is amazing. And he's now continued, and a lot of people think this is like just for the pier people or just for, you know, the big blues or, but no, you can catch really anything. I mean, I saw a huge Congor eel the other day come up in Red Hook, which was amazing. It's nature.
Okay, on Sunday,
you can probably expect that everyone is going to arrive exhausted because at the woods.
Yeah.
We're going to be going to the woods, which is the designated Fisher People Bar. They accommodate us and all of our gear, and every Sunday after we're done, we all go up for their specials that they're kind enough to give us, Fisher People. We have our little area where we put our tackle and our rods and drink just to keep warm. So Sunday we'll all be going there for the official Derby finale. The grand prize winners for the biggest blue, the biggest striper, possibly a few other little random prizes for who knows what will be given out. And just kind of like Miss America, when the crown is taken from last year's and passed on, John Ruffino currently holds the trophy. And I don't really feel comfortable on camera saying he's going to be passing it up, but he will have to bring it with him, and we'll see what happens. But John Ruffino has been holding down Gantry, and I talked to him the other day, and a friend said, yo, you know, you only have 4 days left. And John Ruffino and I did the math, and we were like, yo, we have 115 hours left. So who knows what's going to happen.
Oh, fish!
Of course, Jan.
Here's some action. Listen. This happens a lot.
This does happen a lot. Yeah. Anyway, it's probably going to be sort of like this at the Woods. A lot of, like, things unexpected, random people showing up. I think we're going to have a few surprise guests make their, like, appearance that normally don't. They normally say they don't leave their fishing spots. The advice that I was given 2 days ago at Dream Tackle, who is the bait and shop that sponsors us Derby folk, told me his number one piece of advice for fisher people is to never, ever leave your spot. And I think that Sunday is the one time that everyone agrees is an exception. So coming out, and we'll be there with fish and ready to have a good time.
Well, guys, you just heard it from the bait runner. That is Jane, who holds it down on the docks. Sunday is going to be really awesome. You guys should all come to the Woods. It starts at 7 o'clock. And I just want to thank them for being a huge, huge help in making this derby happen, as well as M Shanghai, The Meat Hook, Brooklyn Kitchen, Mark Bar, and our two fishing tackle hookups, Dream, which is on Metropolitan Avenue, and Capital, which is in the city. So you guys heard another episode. This is From the Docks, North 5th, Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Catch it, cook it, and eat it.
Evening, floating in the soup.
Fish heads.